Blog Talk Radio.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Gosh, thank you for passing that over to me. Hey, listen, welcome to the show, Film Festival Radio. I'm trying to get my coffee here going on. And yes, we are really pumped up and excited about today's show. We've got two guests coming on, and they're filmmakers. Yay! Love it when we have our independent filmmakers on, and you're going to be excited about this film as well. The title of it is That's My Jazz, and it is a film short, documentary short by filmmaker Ben Proudfoot of Breakwater Studios. And this film will have its world premiere Saturday night, April 27th at the Tribeca Film Festival. How about that? Now, you know these guys are excited. I would be too. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the film. As I said, it's a film short. It's about 14 minutes long. Yeah, about 14 minutes and some change, I should say. And it's a movie that's really an intimate portrait about a portion of the life of internationally acclaimed pastry chef Milton Abel II. And for those of you who are jazz aficionados, well, you probably are saying, where did I hear that name before? I've heard that name before. And you know what? You are right, because Milton is the son of Kansas City jazz legend Milton Abel Sr. Yeah, that's where you've heard that name from. Well, Milton II is now, as I said, an acclaimed pastry chef. And some of the places where he's shared his talents have been the French Laundry restaurant in Napa Valley, Per Se restaurant in New York City. He was a sous pastry chef at Noma restaurant. And now he and his wife and children make their home over in Copenhagen. So we'll get more into what's going on with him now, in addition to the film. So this movie, going back to the film, it's a very beautiful, very personable film. It's filled with a lot of great jazz music, visuals of Milton Sr., visuals of Chef Milton preparing pastries and kneading the dough and such. And while he's doing all of this, you see his hands busily working in the kitchens and such. So while all of that is going on, he is also recalling fond memories of cooking with his dad, his parents, and just his life of growing up in a musical family in Kansas City. Yeah, it's just, it's a feel-good film. It's a very feel-good film. But as the young chef's career is steadily rising, his dad's life and career is coming to an end. So it's like a crossroads of sorts. While the sun is draping on one life, the sunrise is dawning for the sun. But you know what? This film is not sad. No, it is not sad at all. It is too beautiful to be sad. It's really a celebration. It's a celebration and a tribute to the talents and lives of both the father and the son. So therein lies where this beautiful film, That's My Jazz, begins. The filmmaker, again, is Ben Proudfoot. And I'll tell you something about him. He is, he's the creative force behind Breakwater Studios, which is an award-winning film production company based in the Los Angeles area. Check this out. Ben is only 28. Yes, he is only 28, but you know something? He has put in a lot of work. He and his crew have already done over 50 documentary film shorts. And among their accolades includes an Emmy Award. So yeah, even though he must have started when he was like six or something. So listen, for this show, I am just so happy and honored to have both Milton, Chef Milton, and filmmaker Ben to chat about this wonderful new film short. And again, it will be opening, having its world premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival April 27th, but it's also going to be shown other dates during the film festival. But you know what? You can just go to the Tribeca Film Festival website and get the exact dates and the time slots, location of the theaters, and all of that. You know what to do. We tried to talk with Chef Milton and Ben earlier. We had some of the craziest, wackiest technical problems I haven't had to deal with in years. Just weird stuff. It's technology. It just weirds out on you sometimes. We've got three time zones going on here. We've got Chef Milton is in Denmark. Ben is in Southern California, and I'm in Nashville. So we got all these three time zones blending here. So hopefully this time we're going to blend all of our time zones in, and we're going to cook them up together, and we hopefully will have us a nice cooked cake of a show, a cupcake of a show here. So let's try it all over again with bringing on our guest, Chef Milton and filmmaker Ben. So let's try to hook it up one more time, and hopefully we get everybody involved. So let's hit the button and bring them on.
Okay, hello, Ben. Is that you, Ben?
It is.
Okay, we got one more.
We're there.
Is that you? Okay, we're all here and accounted for.
Great.
You know, felt gentlemen, ladies, modern technology is beautiful when it works. When it doesn't work, it ages you like 15 years. That would be me right now. But anyway, Rick, Ben, thank you both for being so understanding and for being my guest. I just thank both of you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, we're so happy to be here.
Well, first of all, I would just like to tell you, as I told your publicist, this is such a beautiful film. I mean, visually, thematically, audibly, it is just beautiful. It's like a painting that has life and audio to it. It's like I could smell the food. It's so good. Such a good movie, really. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, anyway, let's get right to it. Let's kind of go in reverse here. You guys have a big screening, of course, April 27th at the Tribeca Film Festival, one of the world's greatest film festivals. So tell everybody, invite everybody out, and just let everyone know what to expect or what will they expect to come see the New York Tribeca screening.
Absolutely. So, first of all, thank you for having us. It's very exciting for us. This is honestly the first interview that Milton and I have done together about the film, which is pretty cool. We've been working on it for, more than a year now, so we're really excited that it's done and coming to the world, and we are honored to be premiering the film at Tribeca, and very thankful to the programmer, Sharon Badala, and her team at Tribeca that selected the film, and there will be four screenings of the film, which I can talk more about the specifics of later on, in different short film blocks with other films that are about food and music and its relationship to the human condition. So people can expect a really wonderful array of short films and get to see ours. That's my job for the first time ever.
I love the titles, by the way. It's just from the first frame all the way till the end. I just kind of got to love everything about this film. And of course, this is a film short, primarily, of course, about a portion of your life. Your father, of course, was the great jazz musician, Milt Abel I. I'd like to know, your family background, you are so rooted in music, but I understand that your culinary talents were obvious at an early age. So how old were you when you first started to notice and get interested in food?
But it really didn't happen until, well, food was always a part of the family. You know, the kitchen was where we hung out, and Dad always cooked, and he always cooked for us when we almost always had dinner together. And if we weren't having dinner together, it was because, you know, we were all out at the gig together, and that normally was at a restaurant or at a rooftop lounge or something like that. So, you know, it just, the kitchen and food has always been a part of my life. And seeing Dad in the kitchen just set the example that, oh, once I became 19, oh, and I needed a job like a regular, like a, you know, a side gig, I would say. It just was like, oh, well, I can do this. This has always been a part of my life. I feel comfortable in the kitchen, so why not try this? So about 19 was when I realized that, I can do this. And then it wasn't until I turned about a year later, then I met the right person. I met my mentor, Michael Magliano, and then he really showed me that I could shine in the kitchen the same way I was shining as a musician and shining as an actor for the longest time.
And so were you expected to follow in your famous dad's footsteps as far as music or what?
I wouldn't say expected, but it was all, whatever I wanted to do, my parents nurtured it. You know, when I was in third grade, so what's that, like 10 years old?
Mm-hmm.
My mother read in the paper, because that was the times, she read in the paper that the Missouri Repertory Theater is having auditions for a, well, I guess I should start before that. When I was about 5 years old, I started playing piano. And, you know, that's the instrument that if I was going to start playing, it was going to play, that's what I should start, because it's the basis of everything. But it wasn't like they forced me or strapped me to the piano and said, you're going to do this, you're going to follow Dad's footsteps. It was always my mom just saying, or my dad just saying, do you want to do this? Do you want to try this? And encouraging me, and then me just taking it from there. So at about five, you know, we played. I started lessons in Suzuki piano, and then when I got a bit older, I played my first jazz festival with my dad in 1992 on the youth stage at the Kansas City Jazz Festival. And, you know, my dad and I were a piano and bass duo when I was from 92 until, I think until I was like 12 or 13, and then, no, then I started playing bass, and then I started acting. It was just really, there was no expectation. It was always just encouragement, and whatever I wanted to do, my mother always let me know that I had the ability to do it.
Do you recall the very first meal that you cooked and prepared for your dad, your parents? Do you recall what it was?
I actually, it wasn't a meal, but because they never came like to anywhere that I cooked in Kansas City. They always came to my shows when I was acting or when I was playing. They always came to my shows, or at least opening night, you know, because the shows were long runs. They're for professional shows, so they run for a few months, and so they'd always come to opening night. But as far as cooking goes, when I was in Kansas City, it was just always the side gig. So, you know, that was just work. And that's how they saw it. But when I came back from the French Laundry for the first time, one of the most special things that I had learned to make at the French Laundry was macaroons, the French macaroons, you know, the ones that are filled with buttercream and, you know, it's an almond flour-based cookie, and it's really delicate. It was one of the most difficult things I had ever made in my entire life, and I think a real test in the kitchen. If this kid can get this, then it's like a gauge of how he's doing in the kitchen. If he can get this down, then he's doing all right. And so when I started to be able to, A rite of passage, exactly right. So when I started to nail it, I really felt that my confidence rise inside of this amazing professional atmosphere that was the French Laundry. You know, I really had to rise to the occasion working there. So when I came back from California just to visit home, I picked my dad up. He was at the nursing home at that time. He was recovering. He was recovering from some surgery and you know, needed to be in a 24-hour care facility. And so I came home. I took him. I picked him up, and we got a car, and we drove to the old restaurant that I used to work in Kansas City. I arranged it so that I would be able to use the kitchen while everyone was off. And we made French macaroons together in the kitchen. Well, I made them and he watched. And that was probably the most special cooking experience I ever had with my father. And then we took him back and we just ate them together back home. So that was the first one I really remember. And that was really the most special one.
Film, That's My Jazz, is such a personable, touching, moving. It doesn't have a sadness to it, though, at least for me. So I was just wondering, how did you come to the decision of, I need to do a film? And how did that come about for you?
Okay. We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we will talk more with our guest, Milton and Ben, about their amazing new film, That's My Jazz. Again, it opens on Saturday, April 27th at the Tribeca Film Festival. And when we come back, just want to get more details about what's going on and the making of, you know, we like to get all into the business of the backstories of these films. And sometimes we have music people on. We also want to do that as well. And we'll do that shortly here. This time, we didn't have any technical problems. Thank God we've got everybody on board here. So we'll be back after this quick break. So don't go away. You're listening to Film Festival Radio Show with me, Janice Malone.
This is Drew and Jonathan Scott, the Property Brothers, and you are listening to Film Festival Radio
with Janice Malone.
Okay. Yeah, that's the Property Brothers, of course. We've had them on the show many times. They're so much fun. You know how you see them on TV, they're having fun and joking with each other. They're like that in person. Yeah, and they're just down-to-earth and so friendly. So they were so sweet to do a drop for us. So thank you, guys. Okay, we are back to Film Festival Radio here with me and my two guests here, acclaimed pastry chef Milton Abel II and filmmaker Ben Proudfoot from Breakwater Studios. And we're talking about their brand new film, That's My Jazz. And if you're at the festival already, or maybe you're going to arrive tomorrow, tonight, the next day, make sure you stop by on Saturday to get to see this film. And if you can't get in on Saturday, the film will be showing and screening other nights. And so we'll ask Ben more about that as we get ready to resume my chat with him. I just got to, you know, we got to find out even more details about the making of this really cool film. And you know what? I don't really tell you a film is cool if it's not. And I've had so many people write in info@filmfestivalradio.com. We've had a lot of people write in and say, you know what? You were so right. That was a really cool film. So you're going to say the same thing about That's My Jazz. So let's get back to the guys here. We've got them on hold and finish our chat with them.
Me or Milton?
Oh, Milton. I'm sorry, Milton.
Oh, me. I'm sorry. No.
Yeah.
How did I come to the decision I needed to do a film? Ben and I met kind of in a blind date, if you will, and we were set up to meet each other. I met him and David Boland at my bakery, coffee shop, coffee roastery that we were building at the time. It was a construction.
Okay, did we lose him?
I think we might have lost him.
Oh, gosh. Well, okay. He can always call us back. We're here. So, Ben,
no,
you take the baton. Okay, so how did you
I can
you
take
first...
it from there.
You can take it from here. Okay, what? How did you guys meet again? At the coffee shop.
I was in Copenhagen with my team. David Bowen, who he mentioned, is one of my closest friends and also my closest collaborator. He's a cinematographer. And we were in Copenhagen on a corporate project. A lot of the work that I do as a filmmaker is making films for brands and companies. So that had taken us to Copenhagen. And I had this idea that we were going to make a love letter to Copenhagen. And we were going to go around and film all the beautiful people and crafts and cooking in Copenhagen. We had done something similar in Lisbon in Portugal the year before. And the people in Lisbon were very open and happy, and they wanted to film with us. And I got to Copenhagen, and everybody in the winter in Copenhagen, especially, everybody is very close, and the Danes aren't necessarily your best friend when you first meet them. So I was feeling pretty depressed. And a mutual friend said, "Well, you got to meet Milton, this gentleman, Dane, who is a partner in this coffee roastery and bakery that Milton said." Spoke of earlier that they were building at the time, and it was a freezing cold January night, and David and I went in there, and Milton was wearing a white t-shirt and glasses, and he looked exhausted, and it was somehow colder inside than it was outside, and we were meeting with him basically for that he could cook some stuff for like two shots in the middle of this love letter to Copenhagen thing. And we went in and talked to him, and I asked him some questions about where he was from and you know, why he was here. And he told me the story about from Kansas City to the French Laundry to Crusade, New York, and then to Copenhagen and Noma, and then falling in love with a Danish woman and settling in Copenhagen and the whole thing, and with his dad. And I walked out of that restaurant, and I looked at David, and he looked at me, and I said, "We're no longer making love letter to Copenhagen. We're going to make a film about this man." And David said, I'm in. And so we did.
And I'm just thinking to myself, like, who am I to be talking to these guys? And how are they gonna make a film without me? You know, what is this? Who am I? This and that. But I just had to. But in the back of my mind, in talking to them, and what kept repeating was, this is something so special. This is something so. Even before I knew the quality of work that they would do, you know, this is there's just been these few times in my life where I just said to myself, you can't miss this opportunity. You have to take it. And I have been right about every single one of those opportunities that I've come across. And this is just another example of that.
Oh, you were right on target. You hit the bullseye with this project. It's really
good. I just thought they were going to show up with, like, some camera and a little reflector thing, and then the next day we're talking, and, just a little thing. They show up with a truck, and we've got a scrim, and can you get a jazz band? And it was just a whirlwind after that, and amazing.
Oh, it really is. Well, Ben, I don't want to give away too much, because, of course, we want everybody to go out, especially if they're going to the Tribeca Film Festival to see it. But I love the fact that you shot it in black and white. It just gives it even more of an artistic value to it, but a lot of the scenes of the musicians and the cooking scenes and all that, did you shoot those specifically for the film, or is that archival footage, or what? How was that done?
Which part are you talking about? Milton's just like the tight stuff of Milton's work on the cooking work?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Is that archival, or is that actually Milton, or what?
So So everything in the film is original except for the stuff that's the VHS stuff of his dad. Everything was shot for the film. So every time you see a pair of hands making something, those are Milton's hands making something. We just spent a long time in dark rooms with hot lights and that were melting Milton's pastry dough faster than he would like. Trying to pop out croissants and Queen Amon and tarts and all kinds of stuff late into the night. I mean, you know, we this is a past has been and continues to be a total passion project. There is no corporation. There is no distributor. This is just something that our whole team has felt is an important and worthy story from the beginning. And so, you know, from the beginning, I said to Milton, like, you're signing on to a roller coaster. It's going to be a lot of late nights and you know, and big investment of time. And you've got two young kids and you've got a new business. And Milton is no stranger to working his fingers to the bone. And frankly, I have never worked with anybody who has been more dedicated and committed to making a film, because honestly, there's no harder job than being the subject of the film, because you don't have to just show up. You also have to do your thing, and you got to perform. And you've got, in his case, to do your best work in the kitchen. And so it was a marvelous experience. Everything was shot originally in Milton's prep kitchen, which at the time was barely had an oven. Like we peeled the plastic off the oven to bake stuff because it was literally brand new. Plugged it in the day that we did. So it was kind of a little bit of a miracle too, to be honest.
That is incredible. Oh, no, during the making of or maybe during the post-production, did you at any time listen to a lot of Milton's dad's music while working on the film or what?
Oh, yeah. I mean, from the beginning, as soon as we sort of got the gist of Milton's family and Milton's father and the connection there, I mean, the poster, like just the image and the idea of a film that combines pastry and jazz. I mean, what could be a more pleasing experience than a film about pastry and jazz, right? It's just like, And also one that's about family and, you know, regret and rebirth and all those things. It's just like, okay, we got to make this. So from the very beginning, we were playing Milton's dad's music. We were playing other people's music, jazz, bebop, and pretty much my iPhone was constantly running out of batteries because we were just pumping music all the time as we were doing, you know, different stuff. And me and David and Jeremy, the producer, you know, and Milton there at 2 o'clock in the morning in his prep kitchen, swinging a light around, you know, Gabe, our production coordinator on the light, you know, passing it over, Milton rolling dough for 45 minutes to get the perfect shot and listening to music on my iPhone. And that's what it was. That was the experience.
Oh, gosh. I know that was a grand old time. Even though it was in the middle of the night, early wee hours of the morning, just to have all of that good old bakery smell of baked goods percolating throughout the set. You know, you can't beat that. Well, guys, we're going to take one more break. And when I come back, Milton, I want to ask you if you had a chance or did you make samples, some baked samples of your fabulous pastries for the cast and crew. I know the answer, but we're going to get the official answer from you. So wish I had been there for some of those samples. Okay, we are going to take this break and we'll be right back with more about the making of That's My Jazz with Milton II and Chef Ben. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Sherry Shepherd, and you're listening to Film Festival Radio with Janice Malone.
Okay, we are in the last segment here. We're in our final countdown of the show about the new film short, That's My Jazz, which will be airing and showing and premiering and screening and doing all of that. The whole world will get to see it on Saturday night at the Tribeca Film Festival. And we are again talking to the two people who made all of this come together, Chef Milton Abel II. And again, he's calling us all the way from Copenhagen, Denmark there, and award-winning filmmaker Ben Proudfoot of Breakwater Studios. So as we wrap up the details about this beautiful new film short, I was just about to say before we took a break, I was going to ask you, Milton, if you make some samples for the cast and crew. I'm just figuring that you did.
Well, now, Milton, did you have time to indulge the crew with any of your great dessert creations and pastries or what?
Oh, yeah. As soon as we figured out that that oven worked, I'm a feed pencil. I was trying to pat the food. It was time to get to eat because they had to know that I was backing it up with, it's not just all talk, you know, it's important. I mean, instant gratification is a big part of cooking. You know, you make something, you eat it, or you make something, you serve it to others, and you see the look on their face, which is more exciting, and their smiles, and that's more rewarding than anything. So, for sure, half of it was getting to enjoy everything.
It was interesting for me. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to ask you guys, what are some of the pastries that you prepare for everybody?
I made, chocolate chip cookies is a big thing for me. It's a recipe that I have from one of my great, great, great friends. And so that was important for me to share with these guys because it was one of the first things that I really just one of my first recipes that was passed down to me by someone else and that I felt like I earned, and so that was exciting. But I also made some of my best things in my wheelhouse, you know, if you will. So my chocolate tarts, the Queen Amand, which is a classic French pastry from Brittany, caramelized croissant. Yeah, it was a lot of that was really fun to make. And the croissants and things like that that I'm doing now at the coffee roastery and the bakery that we have now.
Wow, it sounds like after this project is over, people needed to go on a diet or something here.
Yeah, it's okay. We just don't eat while we work. So that's
pretty much it. Yeah, it was our balance treat at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Oh,
right.
I thought that was the best smelly movie set of all time with all of that great bakery going on.
That'd be great.
Well, I got a couple of last questions here. So what happens next for the film after Tribeca is over? Then what happens to it?
Well, it has its world premiere. And then I believe it's the following day it has its Canadian premiere at the Hot Doc International Film Festival in Toronto, which as a Canadian makes me very proud. And that's also a big, big, exciting thing for us. And then from there, I'm sure it'll continue on its route to festivals around the country and around the world. We hope to have a Copenhagen premiere at some point that we're going to plan later this year. And then we have all kinds of really interesting discussions happening about where it'll be distributed to the world, how it'll be distributed, and also, you know, taking sort of what we've kind of dove in here with, which is, you know, a film that captures the inextricable link between food and music and how we can expand that and find other stories that sort of speak to that same thing, that deep human connection to food and music and have people's stories that include both. Because I just think cinema captures that combination extremely well, and so we're eager to explore that more.
I think that's a great concept because you can just have an ongoing series with comparing
placing various genres of music with various kinds of food. I mean, it's a whole series, you know, ongoing. But that is so awesome. Very awesome. Well, lastly, where can people find more information and keep up with this film to get, you know, to maybe if you guys have a screening in a certain city and such, the website information and such?
Absolutely. So for the Tribeca screening, we have 4 screenings that are happening here starting next Saturday. So the world premiere, which I believe is sold out, is next Saturday, April 27th at 6 p.m. And then we have another screening on the 1st of May at 3:45, Friday, the 3rd of May at 9:45 p.m. And then the last Tribeca screening is May 4th at 8 p.m. And if you want to follow us, our company, Breakwater Studios, on Facebook, Breakwater Studios on Facebook or on Twitter or Instagram, you can always get updates there, and we will absolutely be announcing future film festival screenings and distribution of what's going to happen next with the film. And you can always go to our website, breakwaterstudios.com, and sign up for our newsletter as well to keep in the loop if you're interested.
Great. And finally, Milton, if someone happens just to be in Copenhagen, how can they drop by and indulge in some of your great food? Where did they find you?
You can find me at, we have a coffee roastery and a small kind of cafe, pastry-centric place in the northern part of Copenhagen. And the place is called Anderson and My Yard. Anderson is the name of my partner, his last name. And My Yard is the name of the French scientist who discovered what causes browning and caramelization in everything that you bake. And pretty much with us roasting coffee and us making pastry, all of the flavor comes from that My Yard reaction, that browning reaction. And I just opened a full-on bakery. I'm so excited. I've had such an amazing, exciting year so far. So our new place is Anderson and My Yard Bakery, and that's in the northern harbor of the city, a brand new up-and-coming area. And that's a proper bakery. I mean, I have all the bells and whistles. I've moved out of a 20-square-meter small little pastry kitchen and into a full-on bakery, and it's just been, we've only been open for about 2 weeks now, and just an exciting time. So come see me at Anderson in My Yard. Either location is going to be a treat, I think, and I hope you'll taste it.
Well, I was not too far from you. This past November, I was in Oslo. And so I have to go back over there later this summer. So maybe I'll just swing up a little bit further and drop by and see you and get some coffee, get some dessert. And yeah, I'd like it.
Absolutely. My treat would be my pleasure.
Okay, well, I will let Helen know if I do that. And what a year you're having. You got 2 businesses booming and now a film. That's my jazz. So thanks, both of you guys, for being the guests today. And, you know, we're going to just promote it as much as possible. Well, you already sold out the first night. We'll just continue to promote it for Tribeca. Again, thank you to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
okay.
much. Pleasure.
All right, then. Thank
well.
You. Bye-bye. Okay, then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, they are so adorable. Okay, that's Ben and Milton II. And again, the film is That's My Jazz. It will be premiering Saturday night, April 27th, at the world-famous Tribeca Film Festival. Got a lot of good nuggets of information about the making of this film. Seems like they had a lot of fun as well, and they ate quite well too. So we wanted to again thank Chef Milton Abel II and filmmaker Ben Proudfoot for sharing just, you know, all of the allotted time that we had them filling it in with some of the making of stories about their new short, That's My Jazz. And again, you can follow the success of this film, because I know it's going to have a lot of success. It's going to another film festival in Canada, as Ben said. But you can follow the film. Go to the website Break, B-R-E-A-K, Waters, with an S, like Frederick Waters Studios. .com. That's BreakWatersStudio.com, which has been production company, studio and such. And just follow the tracking of the film. Maybe if you see it, you can drop them a line to let them know what you thought of the film. The Saturday night showing will be held at the Regal Cinema Battery Park 11 Theater there in New York City. And during the entire film festival, there will be four screenings. So once again, go to BreakWatersStudios.com or to the Tribeca Film Festival website to find out the exact time and the exact days or evenings of when you can see this wonderful new film. I just loved it. You know, I loved it so much I may even try to marry the film if that was possible. Anyway, so thank you guys for listening as always, and we will see you on the next edition of Film Festival Radio Show. So take care. Enjoy Tribeca if you were there. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com.